This week's episode of Enough is brought to you by Wet Frog Studios. Wet Frog Studios are a design company who have helped us with a bunch of artwork for the 70 Decibels Network. For example, the 70 Decibels logo, the logo for Enough, and a bunch of others as well. Wet Frog Studios is Aaron Mankey's design company. Aaron's a great guy on Twitter. He's at Amankey, A-M-A-H-N-K-E. He does some fantastic work around logo design and branding as well. If you want to spruce up your website, or you've got a podcast that you want to change the artwork for or anything like that, just go to wetfrogstudios.com and speak to Aaron there, and he'll be able to do a fantastic job for you. He's thoroughly recommended from everyone at the 70 Decibels Network, and you can't do any wrong there. So please go to wetfrogstudios.com and check him out. Right, now let's get on to this week's episode of Enough.
Hello, Michael.
Hello, sir. How are you?
Just fine. How are you, sir?
I'm very well.
Excellent. I'm giddy. I'm giddy with excitement today.
Why is that?
Because we have Brad Dowdy on of many places. But I first got to know him through his Pen Addict blog.
And someone sounded the alarm.
Someone has sounded the alarm because it's about to get hot in here. Fire. hi, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm great, guys. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Came about because, I mean, a couple of weeks ago we were talking and I discovered that for some insane reason I wasn't following you on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Patrick said to me, we need to get Brad on. So I was like, okay, yes, we'll sort that out. So I sent Brad an email straight after, and here he is. So Brad, for anybody that doesn't know you, that maybe that one person out there, tell us, you know, a little bit about you, who you are, why you are who you are.
Well, the offline world is one thing, but in the online world, a lot of people know me as the Pen Addict, which is a blog I started in 2007. So it's been going on a while, where I just started reviewing pens and talking to other pen addicts like Patrick and different people coming on there. And as of May of 2011, I became an employee of JetPens.com, which is one of the big online retailers of rare and hard to find pens online. So, that's kind of my persona online.
Yeah, and so why pens? What is it? I mean, have you always had this fascination with pens? Did you just think, pen sounds like a good niche that hasn't been talked about, so I'll go there? I mean, why pens?
No, it's something that I've always been into. And, when I was a little kid, and I don't realize it, when you're 20 and 30 years old, that this seed was planted, when you're 5 years old at your grandparents' house. And, my grandfather was an artist in his spare time. He worked a full-time job, but in his spare time, he was an artist. And spending a lot of time at his house growing up, along with him and my sister, we were just always around that artwork. My sister got the actual art gene. I got the tools gene. I liked all the products he used. I liked going to the art supply store and coming home with new stuff. And even back then, I was always fascinated with super fine tip pens, or just not the stuff that you walk into the bank and you say, hey, can I borrow a pen? Not that kind of stuff.
Stuff, but like the nice stuff.
The good stuff. And I mean, and literally that was at a really young age that I liked the pens. And even to this day, I can remember the types of pens that I used in elementary school and middle school and high school, just because it was a little bit different than most of what everyone else was using. So
can you think to like any, because I'm about to get super pen nerdy here. anyone who listens to the show, I've gone on record and saying if there is one area of my life where Enough just doesn't apply, nor do I seek for ways for it to do so, it's when it comes to pen and paper. I have an obscene amount of pins, not only in number but also in cost. I have spent, I've spent a fair amount of money. I mean, what I've spent on a single pin, a lot of people won't spend on pins in their lifetime.
Right.
And it's same with notebooks. I have a box full of notebooks. I've at some point I'll think I can try to dig it up. I've posted it online. The stack I have that I think is about maybe 2 feet tall when you stack it all of just the unused notebooks I have on hand right now. And that wasn't even like, that's half of what I have. That didn't include like, the everything I've purchased since taking that picture.
Yeah.
You say that this is, something you've always been into, mm-hmm. and that you remember distinctly certain things from that time.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear what those things are.
Well, I remember one of the hugely popular pens. I'm close to your age, Pat. So I was in high school in the 80s, and I remember things like one of the biggest things was the erasable Papermate.
Oh,
that was a big pen.
That was the pen to have.
Yep. And that was one of the other ones that I always liked that no one else ever seemed to use, but I could get them at the college bookstore, was the Pilot Precise, which they still make today. But back then it was a different, it was an ivory barrel model with a little colored porthole. And it was like the sharpest needle point that you could find. I also liked even just the regular Papermate stick ball points, but they made an extra fine. With a really, really pointy tip that you couldn't find, like at the grocery store or the drugstore, things like that. So I was always hunting those down. And one more that was always a favorite was the Pilot Razor Point. It was like a felt plastic tip pen.
Oh, I don't think I'm aware of that.
They still make it today. Okay. It's the exact same. That one hasn't changed in 25, 30 years. It's a kind of a gray graphite looking barrel with a little yellow circle on the tip. You'd know one if you saw it.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Pat, I'm already starting to get concerned about your show notes.
Oh, but I'm going to love doing these so much. So, so you got all those with your Trapper Keeper.
Exactly.
What was like the first time you were like, okay, I'm ready to graduate, as it were,
mm-hmm.
Not just from high school or from college or whatever. I'm ready to graduate to like a real pen.
Yeah.
Because all of those pens that you talked about are what I would consider, they're disposable. Right?
Exactly.
You can lose one of those and it wouldn't hurt too bad.
Exactly. Never. That's never been my style. I've never, and it's for a specific reason. I'm never one to lose pens. And I'm never one to be monogamous in a monogamous relationship with my pens. So I never felt the need to spend, say, $100 on a pen, because then I felt I would be locked into using it, and I didn't want to be.
I can tell you from experience. No, you're not locked into using it. As a matter of fact, if you get several $100 pens, you're not locked into using any of them.
Well, no.
Then they're on parity.
My philosophy has changed now, and I do have some more expensive pens, but that's never been like a huge fascination for me, especially with ballpoint and rollerball pens, because then you're paying more for the nice barrel and the gold inlay, and the writing experience has always been more important to me, what the refill could do, than how much bling was on a pen barrel.
Well, but I would imagine that in a way, despite the cost, your methodology is probably very similar to mine. You wake up in the morning, you go to write something down, you think to yourself, what pen feels right today?
Yes.
What should I pick up today?
Very much so.
I mean, because you probably have a few hundred at your disposal,
right.
I would guess, at any given time to choose from.
That's right.
That said, what are the ones you keep finding yourself going back to?
I've started to get into a little bit more into the fountain pens this year and in the past maybe 6 months than I have ever before. So I always have at least one handy, and right now it's a Pilot Prera with an F nib, which is we've discussed that on if anyone out there follows our Twitter feeds, you've seen our conversations and my video at the prompting of you guys after that. That's been
I'll post that in the show notes because that's an excellent video for anyone who has any who's even thinking about a fountain pen should watch that video because. I think it's important that you understand the varying differences you can get in nib size between various models and especially between countries.
After seeing that video, the video that both of you did, I've had the page on JetPens with that pen open in my tabs for a couple of days.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm just waiting the Pilot to drop the money on it. It's very, very good. I like it in ivory.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good looking one.
I've got one in blue and one in gray. Because I'm one of those weird fountain pen guys who also buys specific ink to match specific models.
Right.
And we'll only use specific ink with the specific models because, well, I don't like to I don't want to have to clean them. Cleaning them is so fiddly. Yeah, well, and mixing your inks. You don't want to mix inks, but second of all, you know, to switch out inks in a fountain pen, the proper way to do it is to clean it and to flush it several times with water, and depending on the ink, that could take. I mean, literally, you could spend an hour cleaning a pen.
Sure. I mean, it's a couple of day process for me just because I like to leave them, you know, let them air out and all kinds of
let
things.
Them get so nice and dry. Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I want to switch inks, it's an ordeal. You got to plan ahead.
right. So I keep black ink in the gray one and blue ink in the blue one, as one could imagine, because I also like the pen, the ink color to match the pen. I know. I'm really crazy. So the Pilot Prera is a great pen. I've got two and extra five.
Yeah, and I've used a fountain pen more probably in the last month than I have, and all the time I've written the Pen Addict, which is, you know, over 4 years. So I'm really turning the corner on fountain pens and enjoying it a lot. Aside from that, I say the number one pen I reach for every day is a Pilot Hi-Tech C 0.3 millimeter. It's
the famous Hi-Tech.
It lives up to the hype. It's world renowned. It has a super, super fine line that's, you know, really sharp and really consistent. And like you, Pat, I'm a real, my penmanship is really small, and right. I don't even write in cursive. I write in print. So
yeah, same here.
A tip that small really suits my handwriting style. Now, it's not for everybody. You know, if you have a big loopy handwriting style, you're probably going to get really frustrated at a pen that fine. But for me and how I like to write, that's probably one of the best pens going.
Yeah. Yeah. And now, is the Hi-Tech C the one I keep seeing all these Kickstarter projects for, like, you know, nice barrels for them and stuff like that people are making?
That's exactly right.
I mean, like, seriously, people who use Hi-Tech Cs and, like, are serious about them, they make my crazy look expensive but sane. But, I mean, they're out there, like, you know, machine engineering, aircraft grade aluminum and titanium and stuff like that. Replacement barrels for their Hi-Tech Cs.
Right. I've been a backer of some of those projects, and I have prototypes of others sitting right here on my desk. So, yeah, I know very well. And I think it relates to that pen is such a quality pen for a low cost that designers and engineers who do that really fine detail work, they really get into using that pen. So they're you know, sitting at their desk or their workshop one day going, hey, I think I can make a better barrel than this, you know, plastic barrel that it comes in. And I think, and all those projects just start pouring out. I think the first one with the pen type A was so successful that just led to that many more being on Kickstarter.
Yeah. I gotcha. So, I'm just going to say, so right right within eyeshot right now. I've got the two Pilot Prairies. I've got a Pilot Knight. Is that right? The Knight? Yeah, I've got a. That's what it's called. I'm getting that name right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, the Pilot Knight, another fountain pen, beautiful modern design. I've got a Levenger True Writer with a stub nib, but this particular stub nib is different than any other stub nib that they've done because it's a prototype. I got this from a friend who got it kind of on a, here, try this out from Levenger. And it wasn't necessarily his thing, and he gave it to me. So I had this True Writer with a stub nib at least a year and a half before they started offering them. I've got a 1950s Esterbrook J. And if anyone is interested in getting into vintage fountain pens, this is probably one of the best places to start just as far as cost. These were the ballpoint pens of fountain pens for a while. I mean, they were a really super cheap fountain pen that Esterbrook produced for years and years, and so they're plenty. There are plenty out there, and you can get them. I mean, I've seen them as low as $10, $15, $20 in certain circumstances. And, you know, but to get a good quality one, you're going to pay about $30 for a nice vintage fountain pen. This is the a copper model, and what the other kind of nice detail about the Esterbrooks is that the nibs were interchangeable. So for as many pens as they made at least 10 times that in the number of nibs you could get, and you could swap out the nibs so that you could, if you wanted to, take your Esterbrook J and add a flexible fine and replace your hard medium with the flexible fine, you could do that very easily. Highly recommended. In case any pen nerds are listening, I think this is the 9556 nib I have in this Esterbrook right now. And then I have from the 1920s, I want to say, or might be 30s, the Parker Vacuumatic, which is really, really nice, and done this with this really beautiful pearl, mother pearl sort of pearlescent sort of look in green. And that's just what I have just within, like I can reach out with my hand and grab it.
Yeah, that's great. I think the vintage fountain pens is something I'm starting to get into a little bit, and you definitely have a good collection there, and I know you have more.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got more.
we've only got 6 hours.
Actually, my favorite, the favorite of my collection is, of course, what I consider the icon of vintage fountain pens, the one that everyone should own. At least one of, and that is the 51, Parker 51.
Right.
Yeah, that is like, you know, I mean, that's like, if you're going to own a vintage fountain pen and you're going to be willing to spend a little bit of extra money on it, you want a Parker 51. I love mine, once again. Got it from same friend, Ryan, who we both, I believe, know, Ryan Rasmussen. Ryan Rusnik.
Rosnick.
I'm getting my Ryans confused.
I know who you meant.
Ryan Rusnik, but Ryan Rasmussen actually used to work for Levenger. Ryan Rusnik. He gave me the Parker. Both of those actually were, he just gave them to me.
Wow.
Like, here, you know, this isn't right for me and my big meaty hands. Here you go. I'm like, okay. So, What do you have? You've mentioned the go-to pens, but what do you have right now of interest? I know you probably have like a cup filled with stuff, but just give me the interesting things.
I do have a cup filled with stuff. Within reach, I have the Prera that we talked about. I've been using that all day and all week and all last week. I have two Lamy Safaris, an F nib and an EF nib that I like to play around with. Those are good. You know, great quality. What's one of the best entry level fountain pens?
Oh yeah,
anyone can get. I have a stack of High Tech C's in various colors. That's probably my favorite pen. You know, it's a little bit different scale than the vintage fountain pens, but
just a tad.
But it's all about what we prefer writing with on a regular basis.
It's not the age of the pen, Brad. It's what you do with it.
That's right. Alongside those, I have a stack of Sharpie pens, not the permanent marker, but the actual Sharpie writing pen, which is a great pen. I use a lot. That's a great sketching pen, and diagrams, wireframes, that type of thing. And then besides that, what's over here? One of the newest pens I've kind of fallen in love with for its retro look, and it's actually in the name, is a Retro 51 Tornado.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a classic design. It's been around for a few years, but I've just gotten into it. It's a really neat design rollerball that I like.
Yeah, they also make that in a ballpoint too, don't they?
Yes, yes.
And Retro 51?
Yeah, they make the same general pen design in just all kinds of different designs. They modified. This one's, I think, called the lacquer model, where they do have some color lacquering over it, but there's bamboo models and different types. So that's been a pretty cool pen for me recently. But that's all the stuff within reach. I will say one more that I use a lot that doesn't get a lot of play, but I know a lot of people like, is the Muji gel. If you have a Muji store in your neighborhood, which is, if you don't in this country, if you don't live in New York, you don't. Or there might be one in Philadelphia,
right? But you can order Muji online now.
Yeah, Muji.
But they don't have the full range of stuff on the Muji USA store.
They don't. But I'm lucky enough to have some friends that travel around and send me things from time to time. So I've been able to get some of the aluminum barrel retractables, and they're a really good quality. Talk about a minimal pen. That's your minimal pen, and it writes really, really well.
Well, Mike, being in the UK, has a Muji store, I think, over in Piccadilly Circus.
There's one. It's somewhere on Oxford Street.
Oh, it's on. Okay, all right. Yeah. So, I mean, you can easily go pick that up. And
yeah, I've been to Muji a couple of times, and I like their stuff because it's also plain.
Right.
Yeah, it's very minimalist design stuff. I mean, their stuff for years, when they didn't have an actual U.S. store, one of the places that you could get their stuff was at the Museum of Modern Art store in New York City. So before I let you go, Brad, because we are getting close to our normal stopping time, we need to talk paper just for a little bit.
Sure.
Now, I noticed on the Pen Addict, you are using Chad Doan's Doan paper quite a bit.
Right.
Almost all of your testing and shots and stuff like that. And I know he's probably paying you a nice pretty penny on the side for that. But now that we're on the
nothing.
Show, you can finally out the fact that you do use other things, I would imagine.
I do.
When you're writing.
I do.
So what you liking?
Well, back to the Doan paper. I honestly, and Chad doesn't pay me a dime. I've ordered more from him just to use because I really love the product. I have a hard time writing on anything else. I have it in all the sizes available. So I have it ready. You know, if I want to leave the house, I have the utility journal. I'm really attracted to grids. That being said, on my desk right now, I have two Field Notes notebooks that I keep various notes in. I have one that's, I call it basically, it's an inbox. That's just where, you know, if I pick up the phone and have to make a note, that's where it goes. If I have a meeting at work, you know, that's my scratch pad for that. I transfer all of that out into something else, but that's essentially my inbox. If, you know, someone's using a different application, you know, like NVAlt for an inbox or just a to-do.txt for an inbox, field notes, memo book is my inbox. Everything goes in there first and then usually gets transferred out. Then I have a second one I'm starting, just to kind of keep some ideas, I have separate in there.
Okay.
On top of those items, I use tons of index cards, just for notes.
Okay.
In my,
and just like your plain average vanilla index cards?
Not even close. Not even close. I have but my index card problem is second probably only to my pen problem. I'm trying to, there's probably some that I haven't tried, but I think in my desk right now I have 5 or 6 different brands, just sitting right in front of me. I have the Exacompta, which makes a really nice quality. I have the Levenger. I have the Moleskine. I have Behance. I have Helvet Index. you name it. I've tried them all. That's kind of a weakness for me is index cards. You know, they're just portable and easy to use and disposable. And, you know, like if I'm putting something, you know, like I said, I use the field notes for my inbox. Well, that's also something, you know, I want to keep handy to refer back to, if I need to. The index cards are more of my scratch pad, and I'm real particular about my scratch pads, apparently.
I hear you. Hey, I am too. I'm also, and maybe this is a thing. Maybe this is a corollary addiction that is shared, that all pen addicts are also addicted to, not just paper, but even more specifically index cards, because
right.
I'm the same way. I've got some just close at hand right now. I've got some Levenger. I've got some Behance right behind me, and some of the Action Method ones, mm-hmm. and then I've in my Levenger pocket briefcase, and what have become my mainstay are the Helvetia Index cards from our friend Aaron Mankey. So those are a limited edition.
I think they're gone. I think they're all gone.
Are they gone?
Yep.
Yeah, they're done.
Oh, man. So sorry, folks. I'll link to them on the show notes so you can see how good they were, but you can't get any.
Maybe if everybody bugs him enough, he'll make some more.
yeah. I think, but I'm betting that he may choose to do like something, you know, different design-wise with them in the future. not like I have any information.
I would take a wild guess. Something right. Different.
Something maybe, possibly. So of course, before we go, because, you know, we're about 26 minutes. We don't want to take up too much of people's times. But I just need to check something here real quick. Anyone else who has ever listened to the show should know this. I know what I'm going to do. How about this? 3x5 addict.
What are you doing? Are you registering a domain right now?
Let's see. Well, look at that. 3x5addict.com was available. I say was. In the past tense. No, I haven't registered it yet. A click of the button will change that in a second. So, 3x5 addicts unite. You sent me this beautiful, beautiful Pelly journal.
Mm-hmm.
And I that's kind of what got you on the show, was we started discussing that.
Right.
Michael and I. And this thing is just, I mean, it's gorgeous. And I reviewed it on my site on patrickrohn.com. You know, I'm surprised that you are not using this, that you don't have one of these like in front of you right now.
I know.
Because I haven't been able to put it down. I haven't been able to stop.
I know. I'm getting ready to get one of my very own, hopefully in the next week or two. But yeah, that's just kind of a brand new product we latched onto that, you know, really was just created in the past year. And, you know, we've worked closely with the guy, Andy, who founded Pele Journals, and we're really impressed with him and impressed with the product. And it's a really, really neat, journal.
Yeah. So is JetPens kind of the exclusive seller of these as it stands right now for the most part?
I think we're pretty much the only place you can get them online right now.
Yeah.
Aside from, I think Pele has a store itself. Whether it's a definitive exclusive or not, I can't say for sure. But I will say that there are new products in the pipeline that I'm even more excited about than what you've seen so far. So it's one to keep an eye on, I think.
All right, noted. Well,
he's going to torture you until you tell him. You shouldn't have said that, because Larry won't leave you alone.
I'll leave it. I like a good mystery. I mean, I want Sherlock.
Wait until we finish and we press stop, then.
I do have to say, the Levinger Circas on my desk here are really jealous. They really hate this Pele notebook. They want it gone and quick.
The circas have been on my radar for years, and if there was one thing I was going to make a jump into, you know, a good expense that, you know, I know I would enjoy, the Circa would be at the top of the list. I think that's a really cool concept, and now that they've branched out into different papers, which has always been my kicker, it's kind of a no-brainer now if you're looking for that type of system.
Well, and just a couple of notes on that front. Number one, I think Levinger has just done an amazing job in the past year or so of really upgrading the paper there, and really working hard, especially for fountain pen geeks, and especially as they've expanded their fountain pen offerings. I think it's become clear to them that, and they were probably hearing from customers that, well, yeah, you're selling us all these knife fountain pens, but you know, they completely bleed through your Circa paper.
Right.
You should fix that, right?
Right.
And so I think they've worked really hard. I think they've done, if my knowledge is serving me correctly, within the past year, they've upgraded that paper twice.
That sounds right.
My other kind of pro tip with that is I've actually went down to the old office supply store and got myself some HP Premium Choice laser paper, some of the 32 pound goodness.
Right.
This stuff is really nice, and I've got a fountain pen or two that can bleed through just about anything, but it can't bleed through this. And you know, for the letter size, you just get a Levinger punch and you punch it and you stick it in. And for the junior size, you cut it in half short way, and boom, punch it, stick it in. And that's kind of what I've been doing lately, just because there have been times when I've wanted to use one of those fountain pens and have wanted to make sure the paper stood up. And so I always, you know, have at least, maybe two dozen sheets of that stuck into any Levinger Circa I have.
You've got to include in the show notes the video that you did, because I've never heard somebody say punch so many times with so much excitement. Just the every it's a funny video. I like it.
That's a great video.
Punch. Yeah, I'll also include the link to the one my daughter did, where she nearly killed me for moving her pen. So you can tell that it runs in the family.
Oh yeah, start them
really
young.
Does. She loves good pen and good paper. So Brad, people are probably by this point sick of me and way more interested in you. Where can they find you on the internet?
You can find my blog at penaddict.com. That's where I do, you know, all the pen reviews and talk about pens, papers, pencils, anything that we've talked about today. And I'm on Twitter at Dowdyism, which is my last name, Dowdy, Dowdyism.
All right. Cool. And we got to plug Jet. Look, this is where you're going to find, you're not going to be able to find some of the stuff that JetPens offers anywhere else.
That's right. I mean, and you know, not to brag, but the products, some of the products that JetPens carry, actually the majority of the products, you just can't walk into a store and buy it. So nope. And I'm a huge believer in the company, and that's why I chose to go work for them. So yeah, you can always find me at JetPens.com. I manage the JetPens Twitter feed, the Facebook feed. If you ever have any pen questions or product questions, you can be pretty safe to say that if you hit me up on one of those feeds, I'm going to be the guy answering your question.
There you go. And I mean, the one question that that there is no question about is that if you care at all about pen and paper and quality and that sort of things, JetPens is one of the places you better have bookmarked. Otherwise, you don't care.
Right.
You don't.
Right.
So, in any case, well, thanks a lot, Brad. I really appreciate you coming on, and I hope Mike has safely hidden his credit cards.
What I've learned from this show is I have, one, a lot to learn and a lot of catching up to do, and two, I need to go get a loan of some description.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And we have one more question for you, right? And that's, how bare is your air? And we're gonna have you stick around to do that with us.
Sure.
Yeah, we're gonna do that for the next show. So I guess we'll be talking later.
Exactly.
Sounds great.
All right. Take care.
Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.